Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood, sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. Very, very insightful passage here in Hebrews. The Old Testament sacrifices, the Old Testament law was a very bloody law. To cleanse anything or most everything, blood sacrifices must be made, and the sprinkling of blood was to take place. And it describes here how Moses took scarlet wool. How does wool become scarlet? Dipped in blood. And he takes this and the blood of calves and goats and water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. The Old Testament Jews could never have had the modern Christianity that some churches have, where the blood is taken out of songs, the blood is taken out of the book, the blood is taken out of salvation. The Jews understood full well that blood was required and that blood was necessary in worship towards God and in cleansing. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for being able to be here this evening. God, I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ. God, I'm thankful for Your Word. Lord, that we don't have to question it. We don't have to revise it, edit it. We just merely need to accept it as truth, for as it is the Word of God. Father, we thank You and praise You for salvation. We thank You that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, was willing to die in our place to save us from our sins. God, I pray this evening that Jesus Christ would be honored, would be worshiped, would be praised as He is remembered. Father, I ask that You'd fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Help me, Lord, to say those things that are needful, helpful, those things that You would put into my mind and into my heart and into my mouth. God, I pray that You would use me for Your honor and glory, not for any vain glory, but that You might be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you would, turn to Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. We're going to look at some of the things that was accomplished through the blood of Jesus Christ. Certainly not all of the things, but some of the things. One of the things that was accomplished by the blood of through the blood of Jesus Christ was atonement for the believer. To be made at one with God. We who were afar off are made one with God, are brought nigh unto God. And here in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 it says, For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Men didn't understand that for many, many years. In fact, they thought that the reason people got sick was because of their blood. But Moses says it, God gives it to Moses back in Leviticus, and God's understood it from before the beginning. The life of the flesh is in the blood. If you don't have blood, you don't live very long. The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. To make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. And so it was with Christ. When Christ offered His blood, God bridged the gap between man and Him that was created by sin. and he atoned. Man was atoned. Man was made at one with God when he would accept this offering. In Ephesians 2 and verse 13 it says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Made at one. Was afar off. Now close. Close to God. Made at one with God. The Bible talks about God's love. The New Testament talks about God's love in about 290 places. But the idea of atonement, the idea of the sacrifice that Christ made and His blood saving us, that theme is in the New Testament over 1,300 times. Yes, God loves us. He loves us enough that He sent His Son to die for us. And His blood made an atonement between us and Him, brought us close to Him, made us His children. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9 again. Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. It purges your conscience from dead works. And we had Joey Beluca here this morning going to the Philippines, and he showed you some slides on that wall. He showed you some slides of people doing dead works, trying to appease their conscience, beating their own backs, having themselves nailed to a cross, trying to do something, some work, that would atone for their sins, or that would just even appease their conscience for a little bit. He talked about men and women coming in a back door of a church and crawling up on their knees, one by one, somehow to atone for their sins, somehow to ease their conscience, somehow to tickle their religious fancy, to somehow make them right with God. But here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14 it says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" None of those dead works. None of those running circles around a rosary, dead works. None of those repetitive prayers, dead works. None of those paying so that somebody's soul might be saved, time in purgatory, that doesn't even exist. A dead work, dead work. Christ offers His blood so that our conscience can be appeased from all those dead works. It says to serve the living God. Living God. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. The blood makes atonement for our sins. The blood purges our conscience so that we might serve God rather than dead works. And the blood redeems us. It buys us. It purchases us. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The precious blood of Christ. Have you ever thought about how precious Christ's blood is? Not was, is. How precious it is? Listen. If Adam were to stick his arm up there, and I were to take a knife and poke that in his arm, and he would begin to bleed, we would all begin to get concerned, and we would want to get the bleeding stopped. Now, you'd probably knock me over the head, and you should, okay? And then after that, you'd be doing everything you could to stop the bleeding. Why? Blood is precious, and the life is in the blood. We prick our finger, somehow hurt our finger working, and it gets all of our attention. And it doesn't matter how important the work is, we go take care of it and get the blood stopped. Because we know it's precious. It's precious. Man thinks blood is precious. because you only have so much of it. Between 3.5 quarts and 5.5 quarts. I don't know how you determine who's a 5.5 quarter and a 3.5 quarter, but just so much blood. Just so much blood. It's a limited amount. If we can't even agree on the amount, it doesn't matter. It's a very small amount. And just a little bit of it is a big concern. Now our bones, the marrow, is producing about 100,000 red blood cells in an instant, in a split second. That's precious. Every drop of it's precious. We don't want to lose another drop. How precious is the blood of Jesus Christ? Eternal blood. Eternal blood. God's blood. The DNA of God contained within that blood. The information of God contained in that blood. The salvation of all mankind, any that will come, all that should come unto repentance, the salvation of all contained in that blood. That makes it precious. Our blood's precious. Precious to us. Christ's blood. How much more precious? How much more precious should Christ's blood be? Not spilling just a few drops, not just a trickle here or there, not just enough for an infusion and keep going. Every drop spilt. Every drop gone, gone. To some, wasted. It could provide salvation for any and all, but if not accepted, wasted. For us who believed, precious, precious. Not like silver and gold are precious. Those are vain. Those are corrupt. Eternally precious. Precious for eternity. As of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Perfect blood. The perfect sacrifice for an imperfect world. The sinless sacrifice for a very sinful world. Not mere mortal. Although he was 100% man and 100% God. And I don't care if that doesn't add up. Precious. Precious. Precious blood. Precious blood being spilt. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. That's what he redeemed us with. Precious blood. Precious blood. You can't put a price on it. But he purchased us, redeemed us, bought us. Don't you know, believer, that your body is not your own? It is a temple. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Because you've been bought by the blood, with the blood of Christ. The price paid in full, complete, complete, redeemed. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, not only redeemed, but forgiven. Forgiven. Ephesians 1, 7 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. His blood. His blood allowed us to be forgiven. I don't think that there were any Jews at Christ's time that didn't understand the significance of the blood. There were many that didn't accept His blood. They said, let His blood be upon us. Stephen reminded them of that, and they picked up stones and stoned him. But they knew full well the importance of blood. The importance of blood. Now, we don't like to think of it. We don't like to think about blood. We'd like to live in a bloodless society. Just keep the blood inside and don't see it. Don't want any pictures of it. And we certainly don't want to see our own blood. But I believe that these folks knew the importance of blood. I believe the Holy Spirit impressed on Paul the importance of Christ's blood. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. It gives us forgiveness, redemption, purges our conscience from dead works, and gives us atonement. And it also sanctifies us. It cleanses us to be set apart for God's use, for God's purpose, for His service or for His sacrifice. His blood does that. It sanctifies. Hebrews 13:12 says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." He could have been killed many different ways. Actually, we back up and say, he couldn't have been killed at all unless he allowed it. But since he allowed it, he could have been killed in many different ways, except that he told us how he would allow himself to be killed. You know, there are many. We've invented many what we think are painless humanitarian ways to kill something or someone. Now, we convince ourselves that maybe there's not even any pain involved. Maybe there's even a euphoria involved. Now, whether any of that's true, who cares? Christ chose the most painful of ways. And it says he was crucified outside the gate, died outside the gate, there hung, and his blood to be dripped and drained in front of people as they mocked and as they ridiculed. That's our Savior. That's how he allowed himself to die. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. This is the way he did it. This is the way he ordered it. This is how he cleanses us. Suffered without the gate. Not an easy death. A very difficult death. I mean, imagine all the ways that could have went through our minds to do this. Why would he have to die in the first place? Couldn't God think of something better than that? I mean, imagine the proposals that might have went up in heaven. Maybe someone would just come and live a good life. Jesus lived a good life. Maybe he could just come and be a good example. He was a wonderful example. Maybe God could just send a good teacher. Somebody that could teach mankind what they need to do. He was the most wonderful of communicators and teachers. He is the Word. You can't communicate better than He is the Word. But it was a blood atonement that was required. It was a blood atonement that was required for the remission of sins. And he comes and, yes, lives a good life. Yes, performs miracles. Yes, teaches men how to live. But he comes to die, to be a sacrifice. Can you imagine when this was announced in heaven that the Son of God, God manifest in the flesh, would be crucified, would be killed, and in being killed would be tortured and attempted to be humiliated. There no doubt was shock and then a realization of the necessity. Now he must die because it's the only acceptable way with the Father. Turn back again to Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 14. I want you to see something here. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 14. Every time when you witness and the devil says, don't mention the blood, or don't mention hell, or don't mention this, please, please think of this passage of Scripture that I'm about to read. Every time that you're tempted to just water things down just a little bit and make them just a little more palatable, a little prettier, I want you to think about this scene. I'll give you the context. This is Solomon. Solomon has come onto the throne. Solomon has built a temple. David wasn't allowed to build this temple. His father David wasn't allowed to build this temple. Why? He was a man with bloody hands. He had a blood problem. Solomon was allowed to build this temple. And Solomon builds this temple. And Solomon knows there are certain things that must be observed before this temple can be used. And that is what we're going to read about. What God gives Solomon to do. Now listen, you haven't seen this scene in a mass. You haven't seen this scene in Madison Square Garden in a Billy Graham revival. You haven't seen this scene in anything in modern days. You'll read this scripture and you'll look at this, and if you will pay careful attention, you'll find that this was by no means a lovely scene. This was a very gruesome scene, a very bloody scene. Now, having said that, that's the context. Let's read. Let's read. Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 14. And he shall take the blood of the bullock, speaking to the high priest, and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward. And before the mercy seat shall be he sprinkle of the blood of his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat, and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Now if you're paying attention there, David wasn't alive when the book of Leviticus was written. Solomon wasn't alive when the book of Leviticus was written. But this is how God told Moses to cleanse the wilderness tabernacle. And he said, you go to that mercy seat. Mercy seat. The seat of mercy. Where God, instead of giving us justice, gave us mercy. The mercy seat. And you go to that mercy seat. And on the east side of that mercy seat, and you stand before that mercy seat and you sprinkle it with blood. And then you sprinkle it with blood. And then you sprinkle it with blood. Seven times sprinkle it with blood. Why? Because sinners are going to come before that mercy seat. It needs to be cleansed. It needs to be holy ground. It needs to be sacred ground. Not cleansed once, cleansed seven times with blood. I tell you what, if I go before God asking for mercy, I want to go on clean ground. Amen. Holy ground. Sanctified ground. Mercy. Mercy through His grace. Gracious enough to extend mercy to us. Mercy. When it was us that put Him on the cross. Mercy. When it was for us, God the Father turned His back and forsook His Son. For us. For us. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? For me. For me is why. It's why. for you. That's why. That tabernacle, that mercy seat, that altar, bloody. Bloody. Very bloody. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 62. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 62. The context that I gave you earlier about Solomon is for this verse. But the practice was given in Leviticus. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 62. And the king, Solomon, and the king, and all Israel with him. Man, they were all there. All Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. And Solomon offered sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered unto the Lord. Get this number. 22,000 oxen. 22,000 oxen bled to death on this day. 22,000 oxen. There's about 22,000 people in Adams County. 22,000 oxen bled to death. And 120,000 sheep bled, sacrificed, offered. 22,000 oxen, 122,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. The same day did the king hallow the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat of peace offerings, because the brazen altar that was before the Lord was too little to receive the burnt offerings and meat offerings and the fat and the peace offerings. They offered so many things, so many animals, so much blood was let there that the altars wouldn't even hold it. 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. The next time you go to somebody and tell them about the blood of Christ, and the devil tries to keep you from being specific, you remember what Solomon offered as a picture of how precious the true Lamb of God is. 22,000 oxen, slay them. 120,000 sheep of the best, without blemish, offer them up. It's just a token. It's just a symbol of the true Lamb who's coming, who has precious blood. Precious blood. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin." From all sin. How precious is Christ's blood? We can't put a price on it. How much is a soul worth? How much is a soul worth? His blood has purchased our soul. He's purchased us, all of us. Whether He should have or not. And I wonder about myself many times. Could I justify that? Not in a million years. But He did. But He did. He purchased me through His blood. And before He does, before He offers His body, before He offers His blood, He tells His believers what's going to happen. He puts in the Scripture and foretells dozens of things that must transpire for it to be completed. And He says, afterwards, when you come together to meet as fellow believers and to come to have communion, this do in remembrance of me. Remember. Price that was paid. Remember the mercy that was shown. Remember. Remember you didn't deserve it. And I did it anyway. Remember, there was nothing you could do to earn it or earn your way to heaven. But if you will accept the free gift of salvation, I will cleanse you, redeem you, save your conscience from dead works, sanctify you, and give you the forgiveness of sins. Precious blood. Precious blood. Now he gives us a warning. The warning is that the unsaved are not to partake of this. If you do not consider yourself to be a believer, this communion is not for you. It is for believers. It is for those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I would caution you, I'd warn you, not to partake of this if you're not a believer. On the other hand, if you are not a believer, you have heard tonight the message of the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would tonight be the night? If you have not believed before, do you believe tonight? You believe with all your heart. If you would believe, then you could partake, not because you earn it, but because He cleanses you and justifies you and makes you worthy to remember what He's done and the sacrifice that He's made. The warning goes out to the unbeliever, and the warning goes out to the believer in Scripture. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The unbeliever is strictly forbidden from taking part. And then only believers who have recently examined themselves and judged their sin are to take part. This is not something we do to have our sins forgiven. We do not come in and take of a wafer and pretend that it is the body of Christ, and take that in as if we are accepting Christ to have our sins forgiven. That's not what we do. We remember what Christ has already done, what He's already accomplished. He's already forgiven us of our sins. Taking this won't forgive us of our sins, won't cause us to be forgiven. We are to be forgiven to partake. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26, it says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Guilty of the body and the blood. I was guilty at one time of that body and that blood. Not worthy of forgiveness. Guilty before God. Yes, the Jews said, "His blood be upon us," but His blood was upon me. For it was my sins that put Him there. But when He cleansed me, when He gave me His Spirit, when He made me a new man, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I'm no longer guilty of that body and that blood. "But if a man eats unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Now many see this and they say, "Well, I could never eat of it then." And that's not right. The instruction is to examine ourselves. God knows full well when we do. We don't have to look hard to find the mess. Examine ourselves. A man that says, I examine myself and I can eat of the cup because I could find nothing wrong, is a liar, an hypocrite, a phony, in need of cleansing. But a man that looks and says, every time I look, I find problems. God, cleanse me again this day. Forgive me, Lord, for I have fallen short. Forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to crucify this flesh. Help me, Lord, to reckon this flesh dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I ask you, have you examined yourself today? It's been a busy day. Have you examined yourself? Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread. So we are to examine ourselves. And when we justly examine ourselves, we will find that we are wrong. And we will ask the Lord to forgive us. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, not just some. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That's the warning. Is that my warning? No. I wouldn't see anything wrong with anybody coming in here and honoring Christ by picking up that cup and picking up that bread. But God's blood is more precious than that. And what he did is more sacred than that. And he gives us the warning. The Lord gives us the warning. I'd like to spend just a few moments this evening We'll bow our heads and give you an opportunity to examine yourself. You'd bow your heads and begin to examine yourself. It's humbling to do so, and we need to do so. If you got aught against your brother, are you holding a grudge? Or are you just proud? God hates pride. There are many sins. Let's examine ourselves.